There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, 343-0106 on the text line and the good old-fashioned phone call on your Sports Illustrated. Are there any Sports Illustrated football phones still out there? Somebody check eBay for me. 343-0106. And you can also send one of those talkback messages by using the FM Talk 106.5 app. You'll see the microphone icon on the front page. You press that, record the message, emails it to the show. All right, without further ado, it's my friend and yours, I think it should be, Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, brother.
Hey, man. I was thinking as you were saying that like somebody could make a killing, like, putting an iPhone adapter in like a hamburger phone or a football phone,
and, oh my, and kind gosh.
Bringing you back to like the early 90s.
You could nest the phone. It like get the here's the football phone or the hamburger or like the what Mickey Mouse was holding the remember the one like his right. hand held it, and then you could make those where you drop your smartphone. I like it.
Yeah, I think we've come up with a $1 million idea.
We do that regularly, but we never do anything with it. So.
No, neither one of us has $1 million.
Right.
So what are we doing?
I don't know. We're the wrong thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And I want to talk with you about a story you have up, the subject I talked about last hour with Mayor Stimson. But before we get to that, a couple things here. Number one, how long do we have left in the nappies here? Is it, till the end of the month, isn't it, or something like that? I mean,
it's the 26th,
okay.
25th, 26th. Yeah, the right before the end of the month.
Okay.
I can tell you that with a surety that it's not quite the end of the month, but it's close.
Okay.
So, yeah. So you got a little bit of time left to get your votes in for your favorite, you know, whatever in whatever category you want.
Yeah.
So
and
go for it.
Yeah. And one of the things I worry about here, we'll see what happens, but we've been lucky for so many nominations in media categories in the radio world that has kind of split the vote. I'm worried about, like, it's a primary. There, you know, will there be a runoff because there's so many, you know, FM Talk 106.5 shows fighting against each other in it? So that's a worry, but that's my problem, not y'all's. So the other one is Kyle's story. This is, we talked about this earlier. Kyle has a story about the Gadsden man completing his first half of the Bay Swim. I don't know what the, hopefully they did it at the tide change or during a nip tide. It's 3 miles across. Has this never been, it has been done because I had somebody text me last time I talked about it and said their grandmother had done it back in the day. Is this some, it's getting attention, I agree, but is it like this some world record or something?
No, I think it's just this gentleman just likes to swim in fresh water. He does lakes and rivers and all kinds of stuff like that. So when he was down here, I guess on vacation, he decided to do it over, across the bay, or at least in portions of the bay, and simulate swimming the entire bay. He's not going to do it from point A to point B, but he's going to simulate swimming at the same, you know, amount of mileage that he would going across the bay, but also avoiding the ship channel for obvious reasons.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's not always a ship in the ship channel. You just got to swim faster. You know, that's
yeah.
Just hoping for
that's
that.
That's easy for us to say, man.
Well, but what he's doing is like, listen, this is where I'll be if I ever get a chance to do it. I've done small sections of what is part of the Appalachian Trail. And my idea would be you do it in sections, and then you can say, yeah, I did the whole
right.
AT. you know, before they put me in the dirt, but I won't have done it in one stretch. I'll have said, you know, do this and then come back a year later and do it. You know, I don't know. All right.
It is different when you break it up. I agree.
There we go. Yeah. Once again, consensus between Dale and Sean. $300,000 or close to it is what the Kenyon Brown report cost the city. Well, you know, talking to the mayor about this, said he wasn't aware.
$297,791.
Yeah.
I remembered.
That's right. So, I mean, but, you know, what's $300,000 among friends? The mayor said that they didn't know going into it. He estimated, and I think you're reporting on this, that it'd be $60,000-$70,000. It's a lot more than that, and I guess this all comes in already allocated money through the city attorney's office. But it's significant.
It is significant, and I think here's the problem too, right? Like there's already been a couple of issues with the report that has come out.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so here's what's going to happen. People are going to read about the issues in the report. They're going to read about, I mean, they read the first story that talked about all of the things they found. People are going to read the secondary reporting about all the issues with the actual reporting itself, the things from Excel and things like that. And they're going to just completely throw it out the window, right? That's the issue.
Yeah, the one apple spoils the bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a credibility issue now with something you spent $300,000 on. That's a real problem because there were concerns in that report that I think need to be expanded upon that probably won't get the recognition or the reverence that they deserve because they went about it, these other issues and kind of messed the whole thing up. So I think that's your problem. So you've spent. Basically, you wasted $300,000 now, and I'll be the first to say that, in a municipal sense, as far as how money is spent, you know, $300,000 is a lot. I guess it could have been more. I think people probably wished it was less. And on top of that, we're going to spend whatever the amount is when the city council comes up with a budget for whatever special council investigation they're going to do. So we're going to have to spend more on top of the $300,000. You know, they're going to have a new police chief and they're going to have to spend money to, you know, flesh out the complaints that the former police chief made. So this whole debacle is going to cost the city and the taxpayers a whole lot of money that I don't think they expected. And yes, the city council, city attorney's office has money budgeted to pay outside counsel. I don't know. Can't remember right off the top of my head how much it was. I don't remember how much it was. So this was money that would have been in the budget anyway. But you think about it, like it's obviously taken away from other things you could use an outside counsel for.
So
that's where we are.
Think about it this way. I said, the mayor, I think about it in kind of a weird way, or maybe a logical way. Was the city's portion of sales tax is like, what, 4 cents on the dollar, I think, or when the penny?
Correct.
Yeah, I think 4 cents on it. So how many 4 cents on the dollar things do I have to buy in the city of Mobile? You know, how many of us buy that before it comes up to $300,000? Right. I mean, that's a weird way of thinking about it, but that's how my brain works. Right.
It's 5 cents on the dollar
okay,
now.
Yeah, 5 cents on the dollar.
It went from 4 to 5. Right, correct.
So
that means... Your point stands. Your point stands. I added a penny.
Okay.
But your point stands. Absolutely.
You got to buy a lot of stuff to come up with $300,000 out there for sure.
Absolutely. A lot of nickels.
Yes. And also with this report, there's the part for the citizens, of course, having faith in this or not, but there's also Mobile Police Department. And the mayor said, you know, that he had, you know, he's met with a lot of MPD and talked to a lot of groups, and he apologized here on the air. I know he's apologized to them. Is this fixable? You know, and as a citizen like you are, Mobile, I want it to be fixable. I mean, I want my city to be as good as it can be. But what are you hearing?
I mean, I think it's fixable. What the mayor's doing, I think, is going to be part of what helps fix it. I think time will help fix it as well. I mean, I think he's doing at this point everything that he can do to fix the problem. I think he needs to probably listen to police staff and command staff about who the next chief should be. So I think that that's going to go a long way. You know, he did that with the police. He did that with the fire department. He got, several chiefs ago, they got the fire chief that everyone at the fire department agreed was the right choice. So I think you got to kind of do that. He's going to have to listen to the people that are working for the police department, the actual officers and the command staff, and see what they need and see who they want to lead them going forward and go that direction. I think that'll go a long way in fixing whatever issues there are.
Yeah, we're talking about the money, too. I just got a text here, and the city of Mobile Fire and Rescue still has a suit towards the city as well. So, I mean,
They do. That's the pay parity lawsuit. That's coming up. I think that's coming up sometime this summer for trial. So we'll have to see what happens with that. You're going to have things like that come up from time to time with any city, like that the fire department claiming they're not treated the same as police department and stuff like that. So that's I wouldn't necessarily lump that in with this necessarily, but. But, you have too many of these sorts of things happen. It definitely doesn't help the mayor politically, for sure.
Yeah, and it also, as we look at the money around this, and I would say this is also germane to the report being done. You have a story from last week. The trial parameters are set in that Juwan Dallas and the Dallas family lawsuit against the city of Mobile. That's $36 million in that case.
Yes. Yeah, that was, I think, $1 million for every year of his age. So he was 36, so they made it $36 million. They set the parameters for that, like how long discovery should take, that sort of thing, getting ready to hash that out in court.
Uh-oh, what happened? We lose him? Tell you what, let's connect the football phone there. We'll get him... Leanne, if you can help me here, if you get him back connected, I don't know if he hung up the Sports Illustrated football phone or not, we'll get him right back on. More with Dale Leach from Landyap next.
This WKRG News Update is brought to you by Aero Exterminators. Stop termites and pests before they attack. Schedule a free pest inspection today. Call 888-GO-AERO or visit aeroexterminators.com.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And I will answer some of these texts here after the bottom of the hour news, which means the stuff that comes at 30 minutes. Like the top of the hour is like the beginning of the hour, bottom of the hour is like 30 minutes after. We'll answer lots of these texts still coming in, and update two, I think I mentioned it earlier, but tomorrow at noon, former Chief Prine joins me to talk about this and a whole lot more as well, so be ready for that. All right, we've got the Sports Illustrated football phone connected, which, by the way, Dale, during that break, Leanna sent me a link here from eBay. Right now, $39.99 available Sports Illustrated football phone. I don't know if it's not mint condition, but it looks pretty good. $40. Cool. I mean, you could take internet, and there's a way, you take the internet and then make it into a corded, we have some of that here where you translate voice over IP and make it look like a old copper line. So it would go in. And so you could use one of those phones. Can you imagine that as a centerpiece in your house, the old football phone?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Strong. It's a strong look.
Yeah. I would probably no longer be married. But,
right. Well, there's that. There's that. Yeah. Yeah.
What a great piece of decor that would be.
Yeah, don't follow my lead. Don't listen to what I say. But we were talking about this $36 million lawsuit filed. This goes with what we just talked about with the report coming out from Kenyon Brown that is now, it may not be accurate, but fairly people will say if that is that's so wrong in the XL Academy thing. How can we trust everything else in this is worth even looking at?
That's fair. And I mean, again, there were other things that happened in that XL Academy incident that isn't being discussed because this one aspect was so wrong. I mean, I believe I believe that the Brown report said that a student was body slammed by a police officer in that instance. I have not heard anybody refute that part of the report, but it's stuff like that. Like, it's, of course they're not, because it's going to be overshadowed by the fact that they said an administrator of some sort may have broken the law, and clearly now based on what the school board has said, that that's not the case. So it's unfortunate, because I do think, like I said, that the $300,000 that we spent on that report is going to be pretty much wasted at this point, because no one is going to take that report seriously, because it's been flawed in a number of ways. But going back to the stun gun incident with Juwan Dallas, I think that there were aspects of that could have been handled differently, and the report talks about treating residents with respect, not assuming that everyone you run into has a gun, that sort of thing, I think are things that we could take away from this in the report had the issue of some of the factual stuff in the report come out and not been so factual.
One of the troubling things here is to say things could be done better. In the Kenyon Brown report, I remember that night he did the presser, and then you and I talked about it soon after. Mm-hmm. He would detail these things and talk about all these bad choices, whatever term, but at the end of it say, but it wasn't illegal. So
right.
It seems like he just got to kick the PD in the shin and then say, I'm sorry, my bad. You know what I'm saying? Like no foul.
Yeah.
Like, blah, 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 bad, 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 bad. Not saying it's blah, 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 but a bad, 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 bad. And then, but no big deal, or it's okay.
Yeah.
It's
right.
It seems like I remember having to tell my son when he was young, when he learned I'm sorry, and he would walk up and purposely hit his sister and then say, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way, son. That was premeditated. You can't do the bad thing and then just say, I'm sorry, and it's okay.
I'm sorry. Right. Right. No, you're right. You're right. And like I said, we'll have to see what comes out of this, but I don't know if a lot's going to come out of it now, because everybody who didn't like the report when it came out is going to use the mistakes in it to justify ignoring it. And that is on Kenyon Brown, whose team was paid $1,000 an hour. That's squarely on him and the team for not getting that stuff correct before they published it.
Just joining us, talking to Dale Leash from Landnap, landnapmobile.com. Elsewhere, speaking of spending money in city government, where are we on the council voting for the investigation? And they were courting, I guess, law firms or groups that had no connection to the city of Mobile. I think that was a conversation last week.
Yes, correct.
So, and they,
we're a little closer to that. I think that they had narrowed it down to two law firms, one out of Birmingham, one out of Huntsville. They're doing they're having them do a conflict check to see if there's any connection to either party in the from the allegations. So they'll go from there and choose which firm they want to use as a special counsel in that report. And as I've spoken with you before, there's going to be four main categories that they look at in the investigation. It's going to be the administration, how the Gulf Coast Technology Center was administered and controlled. They're going to look into that report on ShotSpotter that the former chief brought up, and then there's going to be they're going to look at two other categories that kind of talk about some of his complaints. Basically, the allegations that he made publicly are all on the table as part of this investigation.
All right. We'll have some more conversation about this coming up tomorrow on the show.
We'll know more next week, and then they'll vote the next week probably to hire somebody.
Okay. And then there'll be, the big unveiling. It's the Dewey, Cheatham & Howe out of Decatur, Alabama law firm or something like that. maybe that's not their name. All right. Remind folks about picking up a Landnap. If they want to do that street thing, pick them up on the streets and get ink all over their hands. Tell them about that. And then we can talk about the cool, refined digital way to do it.
Purple. Yeah. Just
find the purple boxes all over town if you want the print edition. But if you get only the print edition, you're gonna miss all of the, you know, you're gonna miss a bunch of stuff that we do on the website. Every day there's something new on the website, whether it's a sports story or breaking news or anything like that. You're gonna miss it if you don't subscribe to LanyetMobile.com. Not only that, but it also supports a local business. So go ahead and help us out and get that subscription going. We'd really appreciate it.
All right. Good stuff, Dale. As always, man, I appreciate our time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Dale Leach from Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com. And, yeah, while we're at it, vote Nappies going on for another 10-plus days out there. Appreciate your votes. Appreciate all the nominations for this station. So many shows are in. I mean, we're competing against each other. That's good. Competition makes, you know, better show hosts around here. So keep those votes going over at votenappies.com. And also, while you're at it, I am the campaign director for the Nappies for my friend John Young. And John's up in Best Mobilian and Best Police Officer. So, and this is, oh, we got some good text. We get to talk about, so Jerry said, listen to the mayor reminds me of the news story about the big land up sale. Big land sale up between the rivers. Any chance the state allows hunting on that property? Well, it actually doesn't belong to the state at this point. We'll talk about that when we come back. A lot more. Got about, I don't know, 80, 90 texts to get to. We'll try to get to most of them.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:34, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Coming up, we'll get to the phones and the text here. Just a quick heads up. Tomorrow, we're a week out from snapper season. If you still have leaves in the boat and hadn't checked everything on the boat, maybe it's time. No, it's not maybe. It is time for you to get your boat to my buddy Forrest over at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Now, the new boat lineup is fantastic. Still incentive pricing going on there on some really beautiful regulators and Albemarles and the Solus boats and the Bulls Bay. They've got those ready to go. Jupiter as well. But if you want to get that service work done, give them a call now, because not only will they do the service on your Yamaha or Mercury engines on the boat or engine on the boat, while they're at it, they're going to check out other things that go wrong in that boat, like your pumps, your running lights, the steering, all those things that could have a bad effect on your trip if you're dusted off the boat and getting out here for the start of snapper season or the upcoming Memorial Day weekend. You can take it in, like I said, from bow to stern. So the engines, yes, and all that service work and make sure the engines are functioning. But if you don't have, you know, bilge pumps, bad. Running lights, bad. All those things they'll address when they take a look at your boat and get the service work done at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Online, bluewateryachtsales.net. Give a call, 476-2699. But get that work done by the Yamaha Master Tech on staff and the great folks at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, so we don't see you clogging up Billy Goat Hole next week, okay? Thank you. All right, let's go to the phone here. It's Sabrina is up next. Hey, Sabrina.
Hello. How are you today, Mr. Sullivan?
I am good. I'm Sean, but good talking to you.
Yes, it's Sean. Okay, I'm Sabrina Mass. Thank you.
Okay. Sabrina, yes, I know who you are. Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir. If I may, I just want to make a quick comment, you know, about the situation that, you know, that's going on with the Kenyon Brown report, Mayor Stimson, Chief Pine, and the Educator at Excel Academy. You know, I must say all of this is very, very tragic. It's tragic, and it's very disheartening for the city of Mobile to be going through this process. Now, I will say this, you know, what disturbs me the most, I keep hearing Mayor Stimson saying that Chief Pine needed to be groomed or educated on culturally diverse community. But, see, this is the thing that we're having a problem with, because I'm a minor myself, and I know Chief Pine very, very well. I just don't know how much culturally diverse he needs to be growing up in Pritchard, Alabama, around black people. And Mexican, he's half Mexican, and I don't know how much more, what can they teach him about culturally diverse and in the community. So that's one thing that's really bothering me. And the other thing that I have been to the city council several times, and myself and other citizens, and we have asked them straightforward what did the chief do so egregious for him to be terminated? And to this day, we still do not have that answer. They still have not given us that answer. So that is very concerning. And Kenyon Brown, I will say this, he can take that report and he can throw it in the trash as far as I'm concerned and the thousands of citizens are concerned, because we read the blogs, we read these on social media, the news, and I have not yet seen not one citizen that has said anything bad or derogatory against Chief Prime in the community. So therefore, the question is, do they think that we can't trust him? No, we don't trust them.
You know, one thing in when the Brown report came out, Kenyon Brown's report came out, that I got stuck on when I read through the whole thing, one of the lines, I don't have them in front of me, I did make fun of the, they said, oh, well, they were cursing or something. I said, oh my gosh, let's get a swear jar down at headquarters and put the money. But the other one they did that I really, and I didn't ask it rhetorically, I really wanted to know, it said, like, inability to de-escalate situations with black suspects. And I got stuck on that because I was like, we're just people. I don't understand. I would want further explanation of why it would be different in a de-escalation with a white suspect or a black suspect. I don't like.
Yes, sir, Sean. And that's my point. You know, they're using this as, it seems like, this is just to be honest, they're trying to use the black community, or we're trying to use the black community against Chief Prime. First of all, you have to understand, as a black community, you know, there are things happening in the world, you know, with the police and the black culture. So the sad thing and the tragic thing is they're trying to use the black community and the citizens of Mobile to go against Chief Prime because he's in cop. That's not going to work. And the reason it won't work in Mobile is because the masses and the black people of Mobile, they know Chief Prime out of uniform, mm-hmm. not just in uniform. We know him as a person. So that did not play out. They thought the black people were going to turn against Chief Prime because of the situations and the incidents that have happened with the police department, which is tragic. I will say that. But Chief Prime cannot go out and regulate what officers individually choose to do, whether it's right or wrong. That's the point. Like, stop trying to use him as a prop against the community of the culture of the people. We are not fools. We are educated people in mm-hmm. 2024. This
Correct.
Is the problem that they don't understand. We're, it's like that the mayor and the city council, they're trying to use the black community, and we are upset about it. Stop using the black community as pawns, because we're not falling for that trap.
There you go. Sabrina, I appreciate your call. Call back soon, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And thank you, Mr. Sean. Have a great day.
You too, Sabrina. Thank you. Let's go to, let me see here, click the thing. And next up is Ashley. Ashley, check it in from, I don't know where, but Ashley's on. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Your thoughts on this?
My thoughts? Well, I've been going to the Mobile City Council meetings for the past 3 weeks. This past week, I tried to speak, and I was going to speak about the zoning issues that they were taking up discussions to talk about. And bottom line, they want to try to keep everybody quiet. And, you know, we the people, I mean, if you pay attention and read and follow what's going on in the world, it's all right here, people. I mean, we got to do better. I mean,
so what they kicked you out? What'd they say? What caused that you to get kicked out of the city council meeting?
They didn't want me to talk. And I did want to speak about mental health. Yeah. And I was on the list to speak. I hadn't gotten to my turn yet, but they took, you know, open comment from the audience, and I was going to speak about the zoning, but, and then I just mentioned mental health, and then, oh, they shut me down. Like, they did not want me to speak. And the representatives from Alta Point were there prior to me speaking, and it was proclamation for mental health for May 2024 in the city of Mobile, and I wanted to speak about that. But you know what? After Alta Point got their award, what'd they do? They got up and left. And mental health is bad, and I'm going to speak about that next week. I'm going to I will not be silent next week because I just signed up to speak, and I will be there. And you know, the people need to pay attention to this, and they violated my rights because I was not asked. I was not kicked out. I didn't want to say anything because I was mad and I was upset because how I've been treated and how they treated everybody else. And they are rude. They are rude. And I don't like that. And you can't treat people like this. You can't, and just expect to get away with it. So people need to pay attention. I was blind to it. I mean, and then all this, Chief Ryan is my friend. Miss Kay is my friend. And you know, it's, I don't know, I'm speechless. Like I said up there on that podium, I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Well, we'll be watching for that. So you're signed up to speak next week?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, Ashley, we'll be watching for it then, and you can call us back afterwards. Appreciate your call at 343-0106. We run to some of these texts. The Jerry question, Jerry, the only thing I was going to say is about that land between the rivers. I am quite familiar with that piece of ground. But it was, the state doesn't have it now. The combination groups, but I think TNC, the Nature Conservancy, owns it now. And the people that are hunting it that have the lease are going to continue to hunt it. Will it eventually go to be part of the state and forever? Well, maybe, but right now the state doesn't own it, so they can't say that you can hunt that property because the state doesn't own it. Let's see the text here. Matt says, while I don't think you're MSNBC or Fox News. Oh, this is back to the earlier conversation at the beginning of the hour. So, well, I don't think you're MSNBC or Fox News. I think you're old school Tim Russert, a journalist that reached. I saw him. I went to listen to Tim Russert at Spring Hill College, gosh, a lifetime ago. Seems like 20-something years ago. He says, I think you're an old-school Tim Russert, a journalist that reaches across all sides of the aisle for information. That's a badge of honor. We need more of that in today's times. Well, thanks, Matt. I'm just doing things the way I do them. Let's see. Here's somebody out of these. Sean, are you joining the mayor's campaign? I don't join any campaigns. You notice that over the years here? It's bad for business. No, I don't join campaigns. Let's see. Mary Lee saying that he didn't actually say he was sorry, that he's just crippling them. And then says, I'm done, I swear, but he needs to agree to come back at least once a week for an hour to answer questions himself, not one of his talking heads. Well, I'll say this, Mary Lee, the bear has been good in situations like this for coming on. I don't think they can schedule me. I'd love it. I mean, if I could have him on once a week, be great. I mean, you know, maybe once a month, like I have the sheriff on. And those are good because I think, like, I'm like you, a chance to just ask directly instead of seeing what's posted on Facebook or what goes out and, you know, the rumor mill, to be able to, whether you believe the answer or not, to be able to ask the person directly, I think is there's a lot to be said for that. And Jim and Sims said the problems between Prine and Barber. Barber is power hungry. We're going to watch this, and I think that'll be part of our conversation tomorrow, Jim, because former Chief Prine will be our guest at noon tomorrow, so we'll talk about that. Oh, listen, Trace says, and Trace, this is, if I could pull this off, I could just sit back. What is the meme where you're sitting back eating popcorn or something like that? Because Trace says you should get Prine and the mayor on at the same time. Well, sure. I mean, if I could pull that off, I would be media Houdini to do that, and of course I would like to do that, but I don't know that that's in the cards out there. Okay, some more suggestions of doing just that. Listen, I'll try. We'll see if we get there. I'm not going to hold my breath for it on that, but yeah, I would love to have all sides in at one time and be able to have just real world, not even sound bites, just real world conversations about these things. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Hopefully that happens. All right, coming back, let's talk about, this is, I remember when, gosh, years ago when they refocused on, I forget which anniversary it was, I should know. It would have been probably in 2017 or something like that, the World War I anniversary. And we focused on the history of Alabamians that served in World War I. Remember that whole discussion? Well, David Preston, who you hear call in here a bunch, has written a book about it. He's going to join us coming up to talk about that in just minutes. Stay right there. History coming your way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'll tell you what, looking at tomorrow's schedule, just as packed as today, I'd have to do like a extra hours podcast, because I really do want to talk about the charming marital story of Senator Menendez now, who's now, hey, it wasn't me, it was my wife. I didn't take the bribes. It's her. She's throwing his wife under the bus. Good, nice. And in the pantheon of great moves, we've used the engineering genius and the military might of the United States. They finished the pier at Gaza that we will have to man. And I'm sure that won't be a target for terrorists at all, will it? So just flying the stuff in and driving it across. We got the pier fixed. But no, we'll have to do that in extra hours. I'm glad to get this guy on. You hear him chime in on a variety of subjects. David Preston in Mobile talking to us now. Author David Preston joining us. Author,
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Sean.
So this is your, it says your debut novel. So how long is the process here? Like, when did you start with working on Unknown Soldier, World War One?
Well, I've had the idea since I visited Arlington on a trip to Washington when I was a kid. So the idea is old enough to drink before I even started writing the book. But I started writing right around this time last year. You know, after I had my heart surgery back in March, I figured I'd put this extra bonus time God gave me to good use. And so I started doing a little bit of research about this idea that I've always had about writing a novel about what would the lives of the unknown soldiers that are buried at the Tomb of the Unknown be if we knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing some research about the tomb and how the bodies that are buried there came to be buried there. And I came across the fact that, you know, the way they selected World War One and World War Two is they selected some unknown bodies from different cemeteries from around the world, and they let a Medal of Honor winner from that war select which body went into the tomb. And from one of the cemeteries they selected the bodies from, is the bodies buried at that cemetery were from battles that were fought along the Western Front in World War One, specifically St. Mihiel and some other battles. And I found out that the famous 42nd Rainbow Division of the U.S. Army fought in those battles. And then I found out that the Alabama 167th National Guard Unit fought with the Rainbow Division in those battles. And I always knew that I wanted one of my main characters to be based in Southwest Alabama and Mobile. So when I found all that out, I was like, well, there's my Mobile character, and that's why, you know. And then the idea just developed from there. I found some research and some really good anecdotes and some stories from that actually happened to soldiers in the 167th during the war. And my elevator pitch for the book is it's Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn meet Forrest Gump and go off to World War One.
Pretty good. I like the fact too that in reading it, y'all, we talked about Mobile, but he starts us off in Thomasville. And I don't know if there's a main novels out there that start in Thomasville. So that was very interesting in that it's historical fiction, right? I mean, you're creating these characters, but they're based in the real timeline of World War One.
Correct. They are fictional characters, but the experiences of those fictional characters are based off of experiences from real life people that's either served in World War One or came across like some of the experiences from when my main character leaves Thomasville and comes to Mobile to become a man and to experience the adventures of the big city. Some experiences that he has in Mobile, I certainly base some of those off of real life events as well.
I think it's fair for me to say this: World War One, somewhat a forgotten war, right? I mean, if you look at documentary content out there, World War Two well represented because they had video to show us, but World War One, because of that, I think, doesn't get the coverage. But what a story! I mean, what a story! What a absolute bloodbath it was in Europe.
Oh, it absolutely was. And I think one of the reasons why it's not as well covered, World War One is not as well covered in American history, is because we were kind of late to the party, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We didn't enter the war until 1917. And as a matter of fact, the 167th and the Rainbow Division was one of the first American divisions to enter the war in Europe. And So, you know, and that's because many of the divisions, many of the units that made up the Rainbow Division were a part of the American Punishment Force that served along the American Southwest border after the Pancho Villa raid into New Mexico, excuse me. And so they kind of already had, you know, military training, military experience, and they already had experience with General John Pershing, who was the American commander of all American forces in Europe during World War One. So that's why they were some of the first to go into the war.
So in this, you're going to, with these fictional characters and historical fiction, you're going to take us to these battles, though? We're going to see what it would have been like through a person's eyes, a soldier's eyes?
Yes, it's going to be, I'm going to take you to the battles, especially, and life in camp as well is a big part of the book. And I didn't want it to make it all, you know, all a war and blood and guts, because I wanted it to appeal to a large audience. There is some of, there is a good portion of, especially the battle parts that do have military in it. But, for example, I'll share a little funny anecdote that I found. This is actually a true story from what happened in real life in World War One. In my book, the main character and his buddies sneak into no man's land and hangs a banner from a fence posting in no man's land facing the Germans that says, give your life to God, because your AWS belongs to Alabama. and there's more of those funny type of anecdote stories in the book that are based off of true stories from that time that are in the book. And that's why I said that's the Forrest Gump part, because all the cool stories happen to the main character and his friend.
All right. Somebody wants to get your book, read your book. How do they do it?
Well, Amazon, right now it's available for pre-order on Amazon for the hardcover, and all of the platforms you can get your ebooks from, for pre-order. The book actually gets released on June 3rd, so coming up in a few weeks, at which point it'll be available in some local bookstores like the Haunted Bookshop. It will be available there. It'll be available at other local bookshops. And you can go to my social medias and order it directly from me if you'd like.
Okay, so go to David Preston on social media. The book, Unknown Soldier, World War One, if you're going to Amazon and looking. David, man, what an accomplishment, man. Good on you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there we go. So more history from folks at right here at home, and I love it. You got books like that you want to give me a heads up about, please do send me an email, sean@fmtalk1065.com. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow.